Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. To bless the world as it flows.
He that has begun
a great work,
in you
is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. Yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mothers and father's
fathers
planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining the CL3 Creative Table. This is your host, Carolyn Hall. I absolutely love that song. And And I hope the words came across clear to you. I happen to believe the higher power, I choose to call it God, is definitely always doing great works. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you listeners. I appreciate all the support for us as we relaunched our blog talk show and renamed it our CL3 Creative Table. I am grateful for our guest and making time. Everybody has extremely busy schedules, and it was a beautiful cohesiveness in how we all came together. So I'm really excited about bringing these panelists to the table today, as well as hosting our first Inner Empowerment Circle on the Blog Talk. We've hosted the circles in person for the last couple of years, but I wanted to try something different. And the purpose of this table is simply to bring business owners. I hesitated because our original thought was to bring women to the table to discuss all things women in business. But, you know, I don't know if that's possible for me to block out some of the great knowledge and input that some of our men have. So I'd like to just say our table is designed for us just to come, chat, discuss things openly, open up dialogue that might even be hard to talk about sometimes. But everything women and everything women in business specifically. So we do welcome our men. We welcome tonight's guests, which do happen to be all women. Usually what I do is I do the intro for the guest, but I'm going to let the guest introduce themselves, our panelists. So our first panelist, Janice, is that you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you tonight, Janice Chakra?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Did I say Chakra? Is it Chakra or Chaka?
It's Chaka.
Chaka. Okay. I know that there was two other panelists. One of the calls got dropped and one said they were going to be late. So it's just you and I for right now. So everything is good to you for you today?
Yes, it is.
I thank you for making time. I appreciate it. Why don't you
You're
go
very
ahead
welcome.
And
I'm introduce. Happy to be here.
Well, you thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. I wanted you to go ahead and, like I said, I usually do the introduction of, give a little bit of insight as to who our guest is, but why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and then tell us what you do.
Okay, well, my name is Janice Chaka. I'm originally from the UK, but I spend maybe 9 months of the year traveling around the world. And part of what I do is I help introverts and introvert business owners amplify their business, their voices, and their mission through podcasting, publishing, and public speaking. So what I do is make sure that the things that you do with podcasting and publishing are all in line with your business goals and therefore fit in easily with your lifestyle so you don't get overwhelmed.
Now, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do with people. I'm thinking, because isn't your specific market that you work with, they're introverts, are they not?
That's correct, yes.
Talk to me about why you picked that market for a minute here.
I don't think I picked that market. That market picked me. I am an introvert, and there are many misconceptions about introverts and extroverts, and one of those misconceptions is that we don't like to talk, or we only like to do certain things. And I feel one way to help break the stigma that is attached with introversion is to have more of us show up in a more visible way.
So now, showing up, that's very, very key. And I know today's title or focus for this particular Inner Empowerment Circle is how to reinvent, renew, and recreate. So as a rule, our circles, we try to make them fun. Like I said, we've had them live, and they've been very fun. Safe educational zone. Most of the people have been professionals that have already been in business, but yet we also encourage those that might be thinking of getting into business to attend too. So it's been really nice from both angles to interact and mingle, because it's just a time where we share personal stories, our insights, successes that we've had, strategies, do-it-yourself tips that have worked. So showing up is vital. What are your feelings on that?
I feel it, while it might be vital, there's ways of doing it that work for you. A lot of people feel that if you have a podcast or a book, it makes you a public figure. Yet I know a lot of people who use a pseudonym or just use, there's a lot of podcasts out there. There's one called Swindled, and the presenter of the podcast is just a concerned citizen. The podcast is extremely popular, but no one knows who runs behind it. So there are ways of showing up without necessarily being a public figure or feeling that you are going to be all out there. As much as people think they know a lot about me because I have some information out there, if I ask them what my favorite color is, most people have no idea. So it's knowing how to show up in the way that is comfortable to you, and in that way you will pull the people that you need to towards you.
I agree, and I'm big on that, and I think that encouraging others to come as they are is important. And you just made a very key point when you said what that might look like for you may be different for somebody else. But I still think it happens to be a conscious, there's a level of awareness and consciousness when you decide, because everybody has a different process. You know, everybody has a different story of what brings you to what point you're at when you want to show up. You know what I'm saying? So Do you find, now do you only work with introverts? I don't want to just assume that's your only market.
That is my preferred market.
That is your preferred market. Okay, that sounds good. Now, what I was going to ask, do you find that it's a challenge for a lot of people? Because that is something, and I'm not, and I don't ever like to generalize anybody, right, or any group, because everybody's an individual. But for tonight's topic, conversation. We are going to be talking about how to consciously be aware, how do we show up, and the importance of showing up, how do you find your sense of belonging, and then I wanted to go into some of the tips, because I believe that decluttering is very, very important in order to do any of those first three things. So also we were going to talk about specifically how to succeed in business as an introvert, and we were including that topic, obviously, because you were at our table, and that was your specialty, but also self-investment, how that leads to financial freedom and independence. And I was so excited when I was seeing all the questions come through. I hate that we can't address them all. We must have got about 30, 32 questions, and I love that interaction, so I want to thank any of the listeners. Thanks for those I see that are chiming in. I don't see who you are, but I do see that there are some people listening live, so we appreciate you being here. So if any of you are one of those that submitted a question, we are going to do our best to get to those at the end of the discussion. Now, the other two panelists have not been able to join in. So, Janice, I'm going to count on you. It might be turning into just me and you, and that's all right, too, because I'm a firm believer, like, everything happens the way it's supposed to be, you know? And being prepared is key. Another key. I always say I think there's a lot of keys in life. But being prepared is an important key. So when we talk about showing up, we've talked about how that could be a conscious. Do you feel that that is something people do when we talk about being consciously aware? Do you find in that introverted market, is that something, because they seem to be struggling with a few things at one time, right?
Mm-hmm. And so your question is about shutting off?
No. Do you feel it's difficult for those that might be dealing with being an introvert to consciously be aware of what they even want? Now, that's a very general question, and I wanted to keep them general because we're going to tie that into being a business person, but we're business women, you and I, but we're individuals first, and I wanted to make sure that we're always addressing the personal and professional development. So, you know, being consciously aware is definitely a personal development that benefits you in business. But so I'm curious, because I do not work with the introvert market specifically, so I'm getting enlightened as well. What I do know, maybe I should say it this way too, is what I do know of what my interpretation of what an introvert is just like how you opened up. People, I think, have misinterpretations. I believe that it's highly intuitive people that might seem to gravitate to being alone more than others or in their own space. Am I saying that right?
That's fair. It's about where people get that can be more about where people get their energy from or what depletes their energy. So you'll find people, I mean, no one's on either end of the spectrum. Most people are somewhere in between. It's just they might find that they can go into like a large networking event and be exhausted after two hours and need some alone time to recharge. And it varies from day to day and week to week, but generally it's about where you recharge your energy from, and it tends to be spending time alone or doing something creative or one-on-one with one person.
And that could lead to being very aware consciously of yourself, where you're comfortable, where you're not comfortable?
Yeah, it can definitely lead to that awareness, and then it can lead to over-analysis.
Ah, which can be dangerous.
Can be very dangerous. I think that some people will overanalyze and think and research and keep researching and ask people and analyze again, and without necessarily looking inside and just being at peace with whatever decision that they make.
So what kind of suggestions or tips do you have for the women? You specifically do work with women, correct?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So what kind of advice or guidance do you give them? I know that you mentioned, you know, whether that's a podcast or a book, but how do you, in your practice, in your company, work with the introvert that wants to get into business?
There's a couple things as far as sort of being present and thinking about what you're doing. When you have your goal for your business and you have your mission for your business and you're thinking of adding something else, so be it, like I said, the podcast or writing a book, make sure that's aligned with what you want to do. But a lot of people, like I said, do research, and they research so much and don't end up getting anything done. So put a time limit on it. Say you're going to do it for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, a week, whatever it might be, and then stop, because in this day and age, there's so much information out there, and normally we're asking the wrong question. We'll ask a question like, should I be on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram? And everyone, of course, is going to give you a different answer. You need to think about you and your needs and your client's needs or your business client's needs and where they will be and do those two match or how you can make that work for you. You don't have to be everywhere.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer of that because we work with people and their brands and strategizing. And when we come up with concepts, that's why I said there's no cookie cutter. You have to do a lot of communicating, a lot of talking, a lot of asking questions, but it's also knowing thyself. So that ties into one of the topics that we wanted to talk about. How do you find your sense of belonging? I feel that that's a very difficult thing, and I'm not too sure it's easy for a lot of people to master, introvert or not introvert. What do you think?
I would agree. I think it's an ongoing process because as humans, we change continuously. What I'd say a little bit on my story is that for at least 5 years, I worked on my business, just me, just by myself. I didn't talk to people about it. I didn't have help. And then I ended up doing a talk with a group of digital nomads who convinced me to do more work on introversion, but also meant that I had support and backup and an accountability buddy. And now I'm not just this little island. I have little outcrops that I can go and talk to about various things. And as much as it's about you and your business, you need a support network.
You know, what's interesting is when I was doing some research on even just the word, what the words mean, reinvent, how to renew yourself, and what does it mean to recreate yourself? It's interesting. There was five ways when I looked up renewing yourself, it stated five ways to regroup, reprioritize, and to renew yourself. And we've talked on these just in the short period of time. Number one was how to, you have to streamline your life. Number two was you have to declutter your living space. Number three was you have to clear out mental and emotional clutter. Number four was to begin something new. Number five was start a practice. So that is really summarizing what we've just been talking about in this short period of time. So again, it's I'm talking to the career introvert, and you specifically work with those that are in introvert going into business, but it really does apply in general.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
You agree? Yeah. So I think what I'd like to do, oh, we got somebody that chimed back in. And who is that wonderful person?
Are you talking about me?
I am. I can hear that voice. That's Dr. Gail Hayes. Am I right?
That's right.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing really wonderful. You guys are talking about something that I love, reinvention.
Yeah, and you chimed in at the right time. Janice, this is Dr. Gail Hayes, and Dr. Gail Hayes, this is Janice. And
hi,
Janice.
Hi there.
Yeah, Janice specifically works with the introvert that's going into business. So we've been touching on a few things about, you know, how to consciously be aware, showing up, how to find your sense of belonging. So I love it that you chimed in. Didn't we just say everything happens at the right time for the right reasons too?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Well, I have an idea of why you love this topic based on our private conversations, but why don't you go ahead, doctor, and introduce yourself, and then just tell us a little bit of what you do, and then flow right into why is this something that you love to talk about, reinventing yourself?
Well, I want to, before I do that, I want to just add a piece about introverts, that I'm very extroverted, okay? However, one of the things about introverts that I love is that the people that I've worked with who are introverts, they are more strategic networkers than us extroverts. Well, let me tell you why. Because they know it. This is the networking, the crowd is not their venue. So they have to make the most of it, so they become more focused and more intentional than a lot of extroverts. We gather cards, we talk to everybody, we the life of the party, but we might come out there and say, we forgot who we talked to. Introverts, however, they don't do it that way. Am I correct, Janet?
Yes. Yes, you are.
They're more intentional and more focused. They're laser focused. And oftentimes, I'm not saying extroverts all just do like I just described, but for the most part, introverts are more intentional and they're more focused, and they will reconnect because they like connecting the dots and they like one-on-one communication. Whereas extroverts, we like to we can talk to everybody. And we might forget half of the people, not always. But I discovered with my introverted friends, they will say, well, you know, I was talking to such and such. Wait a minute. They were there? And they come up with some really real treasures because they dig deep. It's like they go deep as opposed to wide. Am I making sense, Janice?
Yes, you are. Yep. That's a common thing.
Yeah, they go deep as opposed to wide. Extroverts are more more wide as opposed to deep. And I'm not saying that we're not deep, but when we do things, we just do them differently. And sometimes because we don't oftentimes go deep, we have to go back and redo things because we're just like broad strokes more so than most of the introverts that I work with. So I've had to learn how to balance and learn from my introverted friends some techniques to help me become more intentional and more focused in the way that I do things. So just so you know, you introverts are very much a gift to me. I just had to say that.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's the truth.
It's
the truth
that
I've discovered in dealing with people. And oftentimes I have clients who are authors who are introverts. And I said, well, I don't know how I'm going to promote this book. I said, don't worry, I got that part. I said, you just keep being intentional and focused. I'll show you. and it worked. And it worked. I said, you don't have to do it like me. You can't do it like me. Like, I can't do it like you. However, they finish their project. I don't have to pull them down and tie them down and tie a post around them and say, listen, stop, focus, and do this. They do. They listen. They check off their list, and they strategize, and they get it done. They handle their business.
Yeah, sounds like good business.
The only thing that I've discovered with people who are introverted, this is just my experience, a lot of them oftentimes shrink back in fear because they don't feel like they can do it. But I have the natural gift of encouragement, so I encourage them. It's like, listen, you got this. You're the person that did the research. You're the person that did the work. They don't know what you know, baby, so let's get it done. Sometimes all they need is a little push, a little shove, and then they have to get into the arena. So that's my experience with introverts. I always say, you know, introverts to me are a gift because they don't miss anything. They're the person, people that go, and they can tell the temperature of the room. Not saying extroverts can't, because I can, but oftentimes it's the introverts who don't do a lot of the talking who can take in the climate of the room and process it in a very different way. Oftentimes more complete than an extrovert. If that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, and it sounds like good business techniques in relation to being
introverted. Yeah, I love going to places with my introverted friends. I love it. I love going to places with them because they say, wait a minute, let me tell you what my daughter is an introvert, and she and I work together, and she said to me, Mom, we can be in a big open field at night, and you see the sparklies. And you say, oh, my God, look at the sparklies. Let's go. And she'll say, wait a minute, Mom, wait a minute. And we don't know. Oh, come on, let's go over there and see the sparklies. And it's somebody sharpening the sword to kill me. You see? You know, you can't just run at everything. And I listen to her. She's introverted, and she does a thermometer check quicker than I do. Because she's introverted and she conserves her energy very differently. I'm sorry, you're going to ask something?
No. No, go ahead. I was just going to say it's what you said about finding that balance.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's about the balance. And so since I have an introverted daughter, she has taught me a lot. And I push her and she'll pull me, or she'll say, let's go together. And so we're finding, helping her find a balance so she will be unafraid, and helping me find a balance. So, because believe it or not, not all extroverts are brave. A lot of us are filled with fear of being accepted. And a lot of us are super achievers. We overachieve just so we can feel valued. But that's another workshop.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it also ties perfectly into what you do. You have an empowerment group, right?
I do. I empower women and men. Even though it's the name of my business is the Handle Your Business Girl Empowerment Zone, where we help you to handle your business wherever it is that you do business. I don't believe that business is just having a business. Business is how you take care of yourself, how you interact with others, how you manage your relationships, your money, how you manage that powerful person called you. That is handling your business, every last bit of it. And so many times we as women, we don't handle our business because we don't care for ourselves. And caring for yourself has nothing to do with getting your hair done and your nails done and going to the spa. That is not what I'm talking about. That's something that you can do that's external, and you come out of there and inside you are still a hot mess. Handling your business to me is understanding boundaries, setting boundaries for yourself in relationships. Let me give you an example. One of the things that I come across quite frequently are women who are mature in age but immature in relationships.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
Oh, it
and
makes a
they
lot
get mad
sense.
At men. I hear the most foolishest things when it comes to women, mature women. Let me give you an example. Well, he didn't text me this morning. And he doesn't. Women, look at I'm like blinking. You know, because they're acting like teenagers, and they're women in their 40s and in their 50s. Well, if he doesn't call me, I said, women, hold on. Wait a minute. You are talking about a man, right? Well, yeah. He didn't say this. He didn't say that. I said, wait. That's what you do with your girlfriends. I said, here's something I want you to remember. Women talk. Men demonstrate. What is he doing? And she said, what did you say? Women talk their way to a conclusion. Men demonstrate. Let me give you a case in point. I talked to this woman, and she was very, very, very upset. And you're talking about handling your business. She was upset because she needed a new back door in her house. And she had talked to her husband several times about it, and he didn't appear to move on it. The back door was still locked and closed, but it wasn't as secure as she wanted it to be, and she really needed a new door. So she says to him, I need a new door. I need, and I've chosen the door I wanted, blah, 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 blah. But she didn't give him anything. She just told him she had chosen the door she wanted, and she described the door. Now, think about that for just a minute. She described the door. And you're talking about a man. Men are visual. So she just threw some words up into the air, and he was like, okay. So 2 weeks go by, nothing happened. 3 weeks go by, nothing happened. So she's upset. So she's seething. And she feels like so she asked him, I want to know why you have not gotten this door fixed. Did you not hear what I'm saying? She got really upset. What I'm saying is not important. He said, no, it's important. And she said, well, you haven't done anything. Well, see, what she did not know is that he had gone to the store, looked at the door. He looked at the different types of doors. He was trying to decide on the quality of wood, because let me tell you what he was thinking. He didn't want to have to put another door up there in the future, okay? And then he was deciding if he could put the door in, knowing he was not inclined to do so. That's not his gifting, but he was going to do it because he don't like the idea of another man being in his house. So he was going to get a better door than what she wanted, because the one he thought that she said she wanted was kind of cheap to him. So he was looking at the wood, kind of gauge it, ask questions, because this is not his area. So he's putting together a research project in his brain, and then all of a sudden she tells him he's not doing anything. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it sounds like it's misunderstanding, and it sounds like
it's
what happens
often. It's different
in
the way men communicate than women.
Yeah, definitely.
And he didn't, so what happens is when she yelled at him and she was upset, she gave him some more information on another door. He thought it was a totally different door, so he had to go back and start all over again because he didn't want to tell her that, you know, I've done this, because she wouldn't believe him. You see what I mean? So she had to, he had to start his process all over again because she was upset. So he said, well, maybe that's not what I should do. Let me start. So it looks like she's not going to get a door. When in fact, well, he should say, baby, come go with me. Let's choose your door. But he wanted to do it because he's a man. And she's upset because he's a man. He didn't do it. And so then you have these two different people, these two people talking about a door, which is the craziest thing because the door they had locked, but it's the way they process information. So men are visual. So you have to what? If you want a man to get a certain thing, what you have to do is learn how to communicate so he'll hear you. Number one, get your picture of the door. Find it online. Send him a picture. So this is the door I want. I want it this big. I want it this high. And you have to find out there's different kinds. So this is the size we have. This, I mean, of our doorway. This is what I need, and I want it installed, and I need it by this date because I'm having this. You have to be specific. So many times we ask for things, and we get upset because we think they don't hear us, but it's how we handle our business with them. We have to handle ourselves and understand who we're dealing with. But we think because we said it, everybody understands us, and that's not just with men but with other women as well. We don't handle our business. We're the communicators. We talk. But sometimes we expect people to understand who we are, who what we're saying. And that, and then we get upset because we see other people getting results. We said we wanted the same thing, but we're not getting results, the results that we want. That kind of leads me to a point I wanted to make about how women especially we use so many words, and yet sometimes we don't use the correct words. And what I mean by that is so many times we speak negative energy, negative words over our lives, over the lives of people around us, over ourselves. We get in the mirror and we say negative things about ourselves, and then we wonder why good things don't come to us. We wonder why we have not been able to jumpstart that reinvention process. We wonder why we haven't even been able to invent, much less reinvent, because we keep speaking negative words over ourselves, and we can't think, well, I don't know if it's going to really happen. Well, if you doubt it, certainly starting out, it's not going to happen for you. We don't understand. There are three things that I always say to people. I say there are three things I want you to watch: what you think, what you believe, and what you say. And what happens is if you think something, it's going to, whatever you think is going to connect your heart, and you're going to believe it. And whatever you believe is going to come out of your mouth. So you've got to guard your mind, guard your heart, and watch your mouth. Let me say it again. You've got to guard your mind, guard your heart, and watch your mouth. Especially those of us who talk a lot. And I'm talking about me. I've had to watch what I say because I could not see things happening in my life the way that I wanted them to happen. It's because I would say something, and then I start dismantling it as I was building it. And one of the things is so many of us are listening to negative voices from our past or even from our present. I know for me, and I can speak very frankly and be very transparent, and this is something that a lot of people do not like, especially people in our community. They get very judgmental when they hear this, what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it because it is my life and it's what I've lived and it's what I've experienced, and it helped to change me. The person who spoke the most negative energy over my life was my mother. But, you know, in the African-American community, mothers are like sacred cows. Mothers can do whatever they want. You still supposed to just say, yes, mama. No, not so. And I've had to make a decision of late where here I am 63 years old. And I finally had to make a decision to not have direct contact with my mother because for over 40 years we've had issues. And she has spoken, she's infused negative energy into my life to the point where I was suicidal. Nobody would know where I stayed in a marriage that was extremely unhealthy. For 27 years I lived it. Then after 33 years I finally divorced. But I stayed there because of the negative things that my mother said to me and about me. And so I'm talking about handling your business in such a way where sometimes you have to silence those voices that are close to you because they will stop reinvention. They will stop invention. So I am right now as I'm speaking and the reinvention process of my life, because I've had to reinvent it by shutting out certain voices in my ear, not listening. And I have a quote that I wrote. It's called "Declare Your Freedom," and it reads like so. It says, "Write a new declaration over your life, even if it's hard seeing yourself as valuable. Write it anyway. Get a mirror and talk to your awesome self until you feel power surging through your spirit. Speak the words until they become a part of your mental landscape. Speak them until your nose inhales the fragrance of a new you and your tongue savors the freshness of bread baked in your self-loving oven. Do it now and set yourself free." Because you're the only one that can set you free. You know, God's already, we can talk about God. God's already done his work. He's waiting on you. He's already spoken the word. He's already told you what to do. He's already said, given you the map. But you have to do it. But if you keep speaking negative things over your life, nothing's going to happen. Then what happens is we get mad at God. We get mad at everybody around us. We get jealous. We get crazy because of what we have said. Everybody right now, under the sound of my voice, look at where you are in your life. You created that. Wherever you are, you created that world with your words. We're the only part of creation that has the power of speech, free speech. And we create our world with our words. We build empires with our words. We destroy homes with our words. Words are so powerful. They're more powerful than somebody hitting you over the head with a brick. Because you can hit somebody over the head with a brick and they can heal. But if somebody speaks negative words to you, that is hard to get it out of your mental landscape, your emotional plane. It's very difficult to extract that. Sometimes it takes a lifetime, and sometimes it never happens. So sometimes we have to silence voices that have done us. So we have to do an assessment, and there's a purging that can happen, and you have to make a decision. Sometimes those decisions are very hard. You have to limit conversations with people who always bring you tidings of not great joy but great sorrow. They bring with them the sorrow. They bring with them the rain. You have to decide, are you going to walk carrying an umbrella all the time? Or do you want to see the sunshine? It's really just that simple. It is your choice. You cannot blame anyone else for what you don't have and what you cannot do unless you make a decision to guard your borders. And sometimes it means having to make a hard decision about limiting contact with certain people who are not speaking your best life, who are not speaking. I know you've heard of generational curses, right?
Absolutely. And that's what it is it's usually the closest. And now you're speaking something that I feel very strong about. I feel that we sabotage ourselves more than not just because of that negative self-talk. But you speak so many powerful things, Gail, because it is something that has to be reprogrammed in our mind.
Absolutely.
But
how do we reprogram it? See, this thing, I had to figure out how to reprogram it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, I didn't know how to reprogram myself. Say it again.
I say there's a lot of different ways, but something Janice said in the beginning when we were talking is it is about what works for you. Like, you have to know yourself, because we could share techniques. And I hope that listeners are really, really taking good notes, because we're speaking some real powerful stuff here that literally will change your life, you know? And
absolutely,
if anything, helping them become more aware, consciously aware. But I believe that we all have different tips. I know what certain tips worked for me with that self-talk. And I, in my case, I didn't necessarily hear direct negative self-talk from my parents, okay? Mm-hmm. However, they do have, my parents still do, have a high standard for us, always had a high standard for us children. And sometimes you felt like you were disappointing them because you couldn't live up to them all. So I, in turn, would negative self-talk myself because I felt I let them down. And because of that, me growing up with that, when I would take on different business ventures or even in my relationship or things with my children, I found that I would sabotage myself without them really even saying or doing anything.
You mean through what you said to yourself?
Yeah. Definitely.
Listen, that is the whole key. Do you remember the story of Esther in the Bible?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I actually got a revelation about that in terms of what we do. You know, we know that we've been taught that a generational curse is something that cannot be broken. It's very, it's next to impossible. And it's because it's something that's in your family line. But if you read the book of Esther, it shows you what you need to do in order to break that. And you probably saying, how is that so? Do you remember when Haman had an edict signed that they were going to attack and ravage the Jews, and it was signed with the king's, it was sealed with the king's signet ring? Haman, he was a prince that was serving with the king.
And I remember.
Remember him?
Yeah,
okay,
I remember.
Signed that edict with the king's signet ring, which means it was an unbreakable law. It was unbreakable. That's like a generational curse. It's unbreakable. It's in your family line. Do you remember what happened? Why that never happened? Why that edict against the Jews was never carried out? And I'll give you the quick version. The quick version is it was never carried out because Mordecai and Esther wrote an overriding decree which said that the Jews could in turn do something. So, and you know, that means Haman went to the hangman's. He went on the hangman's news. And then the Jews were victorious because they wrote an overriding decree and signed it with the king's signet ring. And as we're talking, here's what I want your listeners to know, that if you've been told you're operating under the generation of curse, you know, people love to tell us that, you can write an overriding decree on your life because you have been commissioned and you have the permission of the creator of the universe because you are the only person, only part of creation that has the power of speech and the use of words. So if you have something going on with you, you must write, not just say, but you must write an overriding decree because God first spoke his word, then he told Moses and the boys to write it down. And so we can read it. You've got to write an overriding decree in your words, talking, saying what you are, how you see yourself, and what you're walking out of and what you're walking into. And if you cannot do that, you're going to get stuck. And the only reason I can say that with such passion is because I'm doing it now as we're speaking. I'm watching manifestation because it was just a few short years ago. I mean, a year ago, I wasn't this person. And the year before that, I wasn't that person. I am truly right now in reinvention because I learned the power of writing an overriding decree, which are affirmations that I spoke about what I wanted, what I wanted to see. Because what we do oftentimes, especially those of us who've been raised in a Christian environment, we quote a lot of scripture. And, you know, God showed me something. He said, when you quote scripture, that's good. It's in my Bible. It's in the Word. But he says, well, what are you really doing? You're confirming what I've already done. My word has already done its work. I'm waiting for you to speak your word. Stand on my word as a template and speak your word so I can see, behold, you do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You're not getting any new things because you're not speaking any new words. And that's what we call revelation.
But that's why sharing our personal stories is so important. And Janice, I want as I'm listening to Gail speak, I'm wondering about your story. Share with us as much personal, you know, as much as you want with your personal story, because I find it interesting that being an introvert, you are still out there. In fact, don't let us forget about talking about an event that you're going to be speaking at, but you do a lot of speaking engagements now. So have you yourself noticed yourself evolving? Just like Gail is saying, she's a different person than what she was last year and the year before. And that's evolvement to me.
So what I've learned is that I am constantly evolving. I started off working in casinos, and after that I worked in a tax consultancy, and after that I was a HR consultant for many years, and then I worked for big global companies, and then I worked for smaller companies. Your life is a journey, and what you the thing about sort of when people talk about the imposter syndrome, because that's something that holds people back, and the fake it till you make it. I hate that phrase because everything you do has a reason and a purpose and brings you where you are today. So you're not faking it. It's you and it is your life. But as far as my story is concerned, what light bulb moment happened and led me to where I am right now is because I was looking at my calendar and I realized, well, I'm doing this speaking event on podcasting. I'm doing this speaking event on organization and systems. I'm doing this speaking event on mental health. And I'm doing this speaking event on how to create a book. And all of it tied in with one thing, and it was the podcasting, because I created a book because of my podcast. And I didn't start my podcast for the general consumption and for everybody. It was literally for my friends. But now I have hundreds of people who listen. And even if I didn't have hundreds of people who listen, something you have to remember is, and what you were saying about words being powerful, even if you are just affecting two people a day, that's still two people you never would have affected before, and they could be anywhere in the world. So as far as my story and reinvention and recreating, I didn't see it as a reinvention, more as evolving. And that will continue to happen.
I agree. I agree with you. 150%. I agree. That is that's a better word. You're right.
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, did you have a hard time understanding? Because when you talk about understanding others and being understood, there's no doubt that you've been misunderstood often.
Are you talking to me or Janice?
Janice, yeah.
Okay.
I would say, well, part of it was not knowing myself. So I didn't really know about my personality traits until I think probably 7 years ago. Or maybe less. And so during that time, I was floundering. And when I discovered more and more about myself is where I've learned more and honed in my skills more and helped other people. And what I found is telling my story or telling what I do or how I do it helps other people not feel alone, because that's one of the big things, is feeling that you're the only one going through X, Y, or Z. And even though we all have our own unique story, there are definitely parts of a call to other people or similarities and or differences that make you even more aware of certain things, how you grew up, where you grew up, the kind of household, the kind of experiences you had. It was just very interesting when you were talking about your parents and how your parents might influence you. Not everyone has parents. Not everyone has their biological parents. There are so many different variations out there that influence you in your life. And I found that the older you are, the more you step into yourself. And so I'd love to help more younger generations step into themselves earlier, because I think the older we get, the more we're like, you know what, I'm going to do me and forget everyone else. And I, in a nice way.
Right, right. I like that.
Stepping into
that's
yourself,
good, yeah.
Stepping
I
into
like
your
that.
Power.
Helping younger people.
Yeah.
I like that.
And if I'd done it earlier, I don't think I'd be the same person. So as much as it would be great to have learned a lot of things earlier, you are what you are, and everything that you've done and said and experienced shapes that.
Yes.
Yeah, even this table. We have all different age groups at this table right now. And it's amazing to me that we could all still be on the same page to some degree with what we're going through in our life and how we're growing. But now let's talk about, because I'm anxious to get to these questions. I was telling Gail before you got on, I was telling Janice that we had about 30 or 32 questions that were submitted. So obviously
wow.
We can't hit them all. I was so excited about that because I love people seeking advice and guidance. And that's all it is. To submit these to share their personal stories with me, first of all, means they're comfortable, and that's a great feeling. So, and then us being able to address them from different angles. So I only selected three, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to incorporate somehow, some way, on our page, to where we answer these questions, you know, as I go forward. I'll figure it out, because I really want to address all of them, as many as we can. But you even asked the question, well, how do you do that? So what are some tips and techniques? You know, I was saying that we are addressing our women in business, but it's important for me to do the personal development, because I believe that's what trickles over to even a successful business. So this is a mixture of personal and professional development. But we've all been saying quite a bit. So I hope my question isn't so general in asking you, Dr. Gail, to give us some tips and techniques in how you dealt with, because the mom, that's really heavy. If anybody was really listening, that's got to be very difficult for you to do, especially at this point.
It was very difficult. It was as if my precious sister Janice was talking about. It's part of my evolving. I had to evolve till I got to that place. It is just 40 years. It's taken me 40 years. It started when I was 19 years old with my mother. Before I was 19, my mother and I were best buds. But something happened. She sent me. My father was in the military, and I was living in Europe. I lived in Asia and in Europe growing up. And when I went to Europe to live, we were in Germany. My mother, I was graduating from high school, and then we went to Europe, and my mother said, you know, you need to go back to the United States to college. I was taking college courses in Germany, but she sent me back. And she sent me back to family members I did not know. She sent me back to her sisters. And her older sister was still alive, and something happened. And I ended up being a sacrificial lamb for my mother to have a relationship with her sisters. It was something, a family thing that was quite bad. And it wasn't a thing that I did. It was something that somebody else did. But my mother has blamed me for it because she so desperately wanted to be with her sisters. And if she had protected me, it would have set her sisters against her. So I had to pay the price for that. And she has never let that go, although that sister that she wanted to be close to has passed away 11 years ago. So my mother is stuck there 40 years ago. I'm not. And so I had to make a decision. It had to be a gradually pulling away and keeping my mother in a place of honor. The best way to honor her is to be distanced from her. And I just made this decision in July 2018. So this is a new decision. And so I have not spoken to her since that time. But her birthday and Mother's Day, she was 80 years old yesterday. And so I did send her a card for both of those, for Mother's Day and her birthday. But I made a conscious decision, and I will tell you both very honestly, and your listening audience very honestly, it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. I cannot believe how my atmosphere is clear. That I can actually, that's, you know, the old song, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. It's like, oh my God, I didn't even realize I didn't have to have that noise in my head. The negative things that were said, and she passed it through her children. There's seven of us. I'm the firstborn of seven. And a lot of my sisters and brothers have been infected by this. This is why I say you can either influence or infect your atmosphere. It's your choice. You can either influence or infect it. And Janice was saying something about identity. I teach the IPD principle, identity, purpose, destiny. If you don't know who you are, you'll never know what belongs to you. And so before you even talk about evolution, you need to find out who you are. Like Janice said, she found out about her personality traits. Get somebody to test you with your personality traits. Take the Myers-Briggs indicator. Do something to find out who you are. Get on that journey. Find someone who can help you with that, a life coach or someone who can teach you, a mentor. Because if you don't know who you are, we can talk about evolution and what we think you should do all day. But if you don't know who you are or have a sense of it, at least a picture of it, then you can show to somebody so they can help you. Then you're not going to move. It's just that simple. Identity is so critical. If you don't know who you are, you will never know what belongs to you.
Self-discovery is a beautiful thing.
It's so beautiful. Yes. That's a start.
It is. And then that's where you can probably figure out techniques, right, that work for you. What do you think, guys? Because my techniques might not work for you.
No. But you know what? All of it starts with self-discovery and then what you say and what you think and what you believe about yourself. To me, that's what I say. When you start discovering more information about yourself, and look, sometimes the information you discover, you might not even like it. But if it's true, if something will ring true, and if it's something that you want to change, that's up to you. You don't have to tell everything. As much as I talk, I don't tell a lot. I tell enough to get my point across so I can go to the next place. And oftentimes I tell my story because I want to help others. It's our story that liberates us and also liberates others.
Absolutely.
And so I tell my story because, you know, this is, I know that a lot of women, especially our identities, are tied up in our mothers.
Yeah.
And that's a hard tie to break or to extract yourself from.
Even
that.
Talk about.
I will never extract myself from my mother. I mean, I'm going to be attached to her. She had me when she was 16. But I can determine the length of the tie. Because I'm old enough, big enough, bad enough, and mature enough to weave. I know how to weave something and attach it to that tie, and it doesn't have to really directly impact me. It's a whole new dimension. I have to go to another place, and I've done it. And because of that, I've been asked by a major publisher to tell my story because they want to know, how did you do that? I was able to do some things and to create some things that do not put me in a quote-unquote dishonor, because I can't dishonor my mother. I honor her for what she's done. It wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be who I am. But there's certain things I'm just not going to happen. And because of that, my daughter says to me, I know you all have heard the term white privilege. My daughter says she has mother privilege because I'm such a good mother to her. But if my mother had not done what she did to me, I wouldn't have been able to do what I do with my daughter. And I thank my mother for what she's done because I now know what not to do with my daughter. And God did not give me children until I was in my 40s. I had my first child at 41, my second child at 43. And my daughter is 43 years younger than I am, and I am creating legacy, a different legacy with her, and loving her and encouraging her in her gifts. And I am her biggest cheerleader. And sometimes if you look at your own life, you can be bitter. You can talk about what people have done to you, and you can wallow in that for so long. That's all you know, and you get angry when other people come out of the cesspool. Well, guess what? The banks of the cesspool are waiting for you. You can come out. All you got to do is step up. And you know what? There are women waiting to help you out. All you got to do is extend your hand and say you want to come out, and they will pull you up and hose you off and give you some dress and some new shoes, too, because you don't have to stay in that.
Well, you know,
I'm just saying. Really?
No.
You got helpers on this line. That's what... You know, that's what we do. We're helpers. We don't like to see people hurting. I know. I mean, I could feel Janice when she was talking. You know, she don't like to see people hurting.
Right.
Isn't that right, Janice?
But yeah, I was going to ask you about, you're asking about how to find yourself, and what you'll find is, from my perspective, it was very different, and I realized after years what it was. So for me, I was adopted. And I wasn't told about it until it was far too late. And then there was the whole knowing that actually I wasn't adopted because I wanted to be adopted. My parents wanted me to be adopted, but because one of my parents wanted to keep me and one was forced not to. And then the family that I was in, I was used to save their marriage, because a lot of people have kids to save their marriage. And so I never had to ask. I was never asking for attention. I was just sort of in the corner doing whatever I used to do and didn't realize. And then from then, I went straight into a marriage. And I was married for a long time and it was a fairly happy marriage, but it was definitely, I was in the background. And it's not because I'm an introvert. It's because I was so used to being in the background that I didn't realize that I didn't have to be in the background.
Makes a difference.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, right. And so one of the things that I recommend that people do, write yourself a letter. Mm-hmm. Write yourself a letter, your past self, to help let it go. Write what you want, what you needed, whatever it is you need to do, and get it out. Another thing, ask your friends what they think of you, because what you think of you and how other people think of you generally are two different things. And they see things that you don't see, that you don't know, and they'll point it out. They'll be happy to point it out. And then you'll learn new things about yourself that you didn't realize. It might be good, it might be bad, but it's how people see you. And if you want to change what it is that people see of you, knowing what they think is the first step, and then change that. So that's what I would say about finding yourself.
I love it. Guess what, ladies? We're going to wrap it up because I want to get to these three questions, and we're going to keep these answers brief, okay? Because in summarizing what we've been talking about, I believe that we can probably talk more about what we're talking about, but it's self-discovery, self-acceptance, and self-evolving. And that will look different for everybody, but I believe that you can pull from the suggestions, the story sharing, and the tips and techniques that we've all shared. Question number one. How can I move on? And I think some this one I think that you kind of answered, but let's answer her question. It's coming from T. I told people they can submit the questions anonymously, use a pen name, or they can just use your regular name. She chose to use T. How can I move on after divorce and start my own business with no formal education? Who's that?
It was Janice. That's what exactly what I did.
That's what I was going to ask you because I remember things that we talked about. Go ahead. Shoot. Go ahead and answer that one.
So, yeah, I have no formal education per se. And I took the skills that I had from a job that I did and outsourced it to other companies because what my main thing was as a recruiter and knowing about LinkedIn at the time. LinkedIn, a lot of companies still don't know about it or how to use it, and yet as a recruiter, you use it all the time. And so I went and talked to other companies and said, hey, let me set up your company page. Let me set up these things for you. Take something that you already know that you think is easy and you think is common sense, because there are a lot of people who don't necessarily know that because that's not their zone of genius. It didn't cost me any money to set up this business. I didn't have to get a loan. I didn't have to get seed funding. I just contacted a couple of companies and said, hey, I can help you do this thing and grow your portfolio and grow your testimonials. With the divorce side of it, I definitely spent a good 6 months to a year crying every time I came home from work. That's what happened to me. That's what I did. I ended up, you know, getting some friends and doing some stuff. It is hard to come back from, but it is not impossible. And you are a wealth of knowledge, whether you know it or not, and you can add that to other people. That's a short answer.
I love it. I love it. I have, when I went through the questions, naturally, I selected those that I felt you panelists would answer well. Dr. Gail Hayes, this is for you. This is coming from Janine. What would you do differently from your startup until now? She shared her personal story, and I summarized it to where she said that she felt she failed two times in her business trying to grow it. This last time really had her down, and it took her 4 years to even want to get back on the bandwagon. But when she went back into the workforce, she knew immediately that it wasn't for her, and she really missed running her business. But yet her fear was stopping her from going again. And then that's when she asked her question. What would you do differently from the time you started your business till now? And I think you know why I picked you for this question, because you are definitely in that reinvent and you've been doing this, empowering others, coaching others, consulting for them for years. So what would you say to Janine?
You said her name is Janine?
Janine.
First of all, okay, what happens when I hear a message like that is that usually you're comparing yourself with other people. Or you're beating yourself up saying, I should be farther along than I am. That's when you fail.
Mm-hmm.
When, in fact, if it's something that you love, something that you know, you got to start with bite-sized pieces. I don't care what it is. Do not despise a day of small beginnings. That's the first thing. Start out small. Set your foundation and stop trying to grow it. It's almost like a garden. You have to go through and till the soil. You got to prepare it in order for the garden to grow. And sometimes we're impatient. But the what you plant is not going to come up till it's time. And if you sit there, you're a gardener, and you are waiting for those plants to come up, and you get angry because you feel like you failed because they're not growing fast enough, you've got to wait. So whatever it is, start over. Look at what worked, what didn't work, and start small. Start a little at a time each day, writing down your progress, charting your progress, and speak positive words over that small beginning, over that seed. Because it sounds like you said you failed. What made you say you failed? I know there was something that kept you there, Janine, or you would not have continued. There was something, but something also something happened to make you throw your hands up in the air. I cannot tell you how many times I have failed. I cannot tell you how many times I have started over. And I want to tell you, right now I'm starting a program that I wrote 5 years ago and was afraid to launch it. Afraid. Afraid to launch it because I was afraid of what? Failure, afraid of success. I put it out there this week. I'm telling you, this is just Wednesday. I put it out there this week, and women are saying, I want to do this. I want to do this. It's all about timing. You have learned a lot in what you consider failure. You've learned many things, and one of the best things you learn is that what you're doing right now is not for you. So it's time to try again, but start small, and remember, it's a garden, and it's going to take some time to grow. Get you some new seeds. What kind of business? You're going to have to do an assessment. Is this a business that you really want, or is it? Or you should be well-suited for something else? And what people tell you all the time, you should have a passion for what you do. That's not necessarily so. Sometimes it's like what Janice was saying, this is what's going to make you money. Business isn't always not about what you're passionate about. Sometimes you've got to see a need and meet it. Maybe you need to do some self-evaluation and get with somebody who can help you look at it again. But you are not a failure. The fact that you submitted a question, that means you weren't ready to handle your business in a different way.
That's what I was saying. That's great. I had one for our other panelists that was specifically in relation to hiring, because she has a temp staffing mm-hmm. service. So I'm going
right.
to skip that question. The one I selected for myself was, this woman is Linda, and she says that since we were talking about showing up, that was something that was difficult for her because she feels that you have to show up at networking events, different type of events, seminars, learning seminars, and things like that, so that you can learn what your niche is. How did you know who your targeted market should be? And my answer is short and sweet to that, too. You've also, Linda, it applies to you that you also feel something, you know something, you're on the right path. I believe that you have to show up. So going to different networking events, different seminars, different groups, she mentioned she was starting to interact more. I think those are great steps. I believe that finding out what my direct market took a while, because me personally, I want to help and save the world. I want to service the world, but it took some time for me to learn, because everybody's different. Everybody start at different points in their business. So when I found out what my direct market was, I had to evaluate. I do little evaluations for myself and my company throughout the year. So what's working? What isn't working? What's making money? Because we're all in business to make money. There's nothing wrong with that. Money doesn't drive me. So that was also something I had to learn how to balance and make sure that I didn't also let it pull me to the left. Because there were some things I was doing that didn't make sense. And when I looked at the books and I looked at how many hours I was spending as opposed to the dollar bank account, it was nowhere near matching. So I had to personally evaluate what I was doing. And that leads you into asking, well, who am I trying to sell my services to? Who am I really, really getting feedback from? Who's buying my services? So there's going to be a series of questions, I believe, that you have to ask yourself. I say congratulations to you, because a lot of people have lost the importance of networking because we're so, you know, such an online world. So I loved to hear that you still see the value and the importance of networking, because being up close and personal is the only way you're going to figure out, well, who is that person that's really interested? Not the small talk, not the likes on my page. Who's investing in themselves is the person that will invest in me, because they feel I have a service that will help them. That takes a face-to-face, that takes conversation, and that face-to-face can be through phone. It can be through online interaction. But I'm a firm believer that it still takes those face-to-face in person, shake hands, get that synergy, that vibe from someone, look in their eyes, and then you will soon figure out what market you feel most comfortable. That's the beauty of owning your own business, too. You can pick your clients. Don't let anybody else tell you that you can't. Ladies, we've got to wrap it up. I would love to, maybe I'll pose some of these questions to you guys in private inbox, and then we can pose. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm not promising how we're going to do this, but all these submitted questions, I really from my heart want to thank all of you that have submitted them. All of you are very important, and I'm going to try my best to get back to those questions with answers. How I want you ladies to wrap this up by answering one question again briefly. Somebody wrote a book about you. Unfortunately, the book got lost or destroyed. So a new writer comes to the table and says to you, what would you want me to make sure is in this book that I'm going to rewrite as far as the impact that you want it to make on this world? Janice, you go first.
Wow, that is a question. The impact I am making, want to make on the world is changing people's misconceptions about introversion and what introverts are capable of doing.
That's love it.
Short and sweet.
Love it. Dr. Gail Hayes, what impact?
The impact I want to, excuse me, I want to make, first of all, I love what Janet said. The impact I want to make is that I lived out the meaning of my name. My name is Gail. That means the Father's joy. The joy of the Lord is his strength. That means joy is powerful. Joy changes things. Gale force winds, the beginning of the hurricane. I want to come through and help people to live in joy, because if you're not joyful, it's going to be difficult for you to find yourself and to do all these things that we've been talking about. Joy is not happiness, but to have joy, deep down joy, and be grateful that you're here and you have an opportunity to begin again. And that's what I want people to see, that they can begin again and that joy still exists.
Ladies, you're so special to me. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak to you all. I will leave all of your contact information when I do the follow-up on our Facebook page as how you listeners can reach out directly to Dr. Gail Hayes and Janice Chakra. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks again, ladies. Good night.
Thank you and good night.
Thank you.